This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Snowbound, a brand new channel. Very excited to be talking winter sports. And our first guest, we have Ryan Green, the Nordic Division Manager of Rosignol North America. Thanks very much for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, George.
This is, I already said it, but really exciting to be starting a whole new podcast channel, really focusing on winter sports. I can't believe it isn't out there yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised myself. I was very excited when you approached us with this, and glad to see it come into action here.
Now, you're a cyclist, you're a skier. What's kind of your first love in sport?
Oh, I love them equally. Fortunately, they are alternating seasons. But, you know, if I had to pick one, skiing, I guess. But I do like both. They complement each other nicely, and a lot of fun and great people and that kind of stuff.
What is it about Nordic that really drew you to it?
That's a good question. I came to Nordic through cycling, and I was looking for a way to maintain fitness and try to grow some strength in the off season. And I've always kind of lived in the mountains, or at least areas where there's snow. And years ago now, but somebody introduced me to cross-country skiing, and with skate skiing, so relatively easy learning curve. And, you had the motor from cycling and the coordination from alpine skiing and stuff, so was able to, relatively pick up on it relatively quickly. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great workout. It's a challenging activity, and you're out in the fresh air and getting some sun and all that. So it's what's not to love? It's a fantastic activity.
Now, we really see Nordic skiing once every 4 years during the Olympic years, and it's usually on at kind of obscure times during the day. It's one of the most beautiful sports to watch. I mean, the competition is unbelievable. Why do you think in the U.S. it's been, I hate to use the word obscure, but that's kind of fitting?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a smaller sport for sure, and it definitely has a niche. It has some pockets in the country where it's certainly extremely popular. Where you live and where I live, it's quite popular. The Midwest, New England, California, Alaska, Pacific Northwest. I'm sure I'm missing somebody out there, but it's pockets. It's definitely not a mainstream sport like, say, alpine skiing or soccer, football, baseball, those types of things. In some ways that's also part of the attraction of this sport. It's not something that everybody's doing. It's because it's not common. It's not well known within the U.S. population, so there's not that demand in the media for it, like you would see with baseball, football, that type of stuff. We're seeing more and more of it. The U.S. team is having success at the international stage, both Olympics and World Cups, junior programs, that type of stuff, and that's gaining attention. We see it more and more in newspapers, you know, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, that type of stuff. So it is getting exposure. It's just not getting the exposure that we're seeing in some of the other activities. But, you know, it's growing. So as more and more people do this as either, you know, a competitive sport or as a winter fitness activity, the popularity continues to grow. And as that happens, we'll see more things, more media exposure for that. You know, I think it's NBC Universal is going to live stream all the World Cup events this year, which is the first time this has ever happened. So, you know, that's another hurdle that or a step forward that the sport is taking.
I think for years there was only really one Nordic skier that was kind of known among the U.S. population, Bill Koch.
Yep.
However you pronounce that. I've heard it so many different ways. And but all of a sudden, what was the shift? The U.S. has really come on strong.
Yeah. It's there are a number of things. I don't know that you can pinpoint, you know, a couple things that have done it, but, you know, that's a lot of stars have aligned on this thing. The junior, you know, USSA developed a junior pipeline program years ago, and that has helped to define the path for a skier to continue to grow within this sport. And it's also created a community to help support that skier. Outside of USSA, the governing body in the U.S., outside of that, there's individuals and foundations that help to support and supplement these programs. And there is the lifeline of this thing is the coaches and the program directors and the volunteers and, you know, the race promoters and all everybody else out there that makes the events happen so that a 10 or 12 year old who's out there skiing now or, you know, looking at skiing, if this is a sport that they have a passion for and a desire to go to whatever level it is, whether it's qualifying for the J&Q, a junior national qualifier, making it to Junior Olympics, possibly skiing in college on a scholarship, even being named to the U.S. team or a world championship team or an Olympic team, that pipeline exists now. And we're seeing the team that is over in Europe representing the U.S. right now is a lot of them have come through this pipeline, and the opportunities are there, but also the understanding and the coaching and the talent level at for athletes and coaches across the board has grown dramatically. So we're beginning to see a lot of that pay off with this current generation that's over there racing in Europe.
And little odd question here, but I was just wondering, are the manufacturers seeing the U.S. as a much more potential market for them or a growing market for them? Rossignol, I know Fisher has a very strong Nordic department. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's definitely growing. It's you know, it's not growing like a high growth stock would, but it's you know, it is seeing some growth. What we're seeing is, you know, there's a few metrics that we look at to gauge the state of the sport or the industry, and that is, are kids coming into the sport? The answer there is yes, for sure. We're seeing that across the country and over in Canada, so that's true for NORAM. And then we're also seeing it, you know, older age groups coming in. So whether it's, you know, the 30-somethings, 40-somethings, 50-somethings, all of that's growing. And we're seeing that in increases in the amount of people participating in activities, whether it's a race, a fun event, that type of stuff. You know, something like the American Birkebeiner has, you know, 11, 12,000 openings on that thing. It's already sold out. You know, a couple years ago, this thing, you know, you could probably get into that in January, and now we're, you know, November 18th, and it's gone. It's full filled. So the sport's quite healthy. We're benefiting from the growth in cycling and also just the, you know, running and healthy living, and people are seeing Nordic and cross country as an opportunity to continue that lifestyle 12 months out of a year.
You're listening to Snowbound. We are talking kickoff of the Nordic ski season with Ryan Green of Rossignol North America. So, Ryan, what are ways that people can really become involved with cross-country skiing? What are some events that are open to the public around the country that you're familiar with?
Well, there's a few. So it depends on where they'd like to come in. We break cross country or Nordic down into a couple different categories. There's touring, which is going out and, you know, you can take your dog on skis, and it's a diagonal stride, or it's like you're walking. And that is, you can do it on a golf course. There's prepared ski areas to do this. You can go out on a Forest Service trail, open meadow, more or less anywhere where there's some snow, you can go touring or cross country. And these skis are typically a little bit wider. They have fish scales or some sort of, you know, shape underneath the foot to give you some traction and to allow you to go forward. And if somebody wants to do that, just about any ski area or ski shop is going to have some sort of rentals, or at least, you know, where somebody can get rentals. And it's as simple as putting on some boots and away you go. If you can walk, you can figure out how to go touring. If somebody'd like to get into skating or cross country, then you need, or sorry, classic skiing, then you need to be at a prepared ski area where just like on Alpine, where they would groom the slope. You would do the same thing on the cross country. That helps to pack the snow, give it a little bit of stability. People might be familiar with the tracks that are in the snow. That's the two channels that the skis will go into and basically guide you down the path. Those are used in classic. And then for skating, you're out in the open lane, which is very similar to an Alpine ski slope where it's groomed like that. And skating is that side-to-side motion. And that's the one that most cyclists can pick up on very quickly. They already have the muscles and, you know, balance and strength and aerobic capacity to do this. And it's a relatively short learning curve, so they're able to pick up on that quickly. There is an event in January. It's called Winter Trails, and that's a nationwide event that is at numerous ski areas throughout the country, and that's where people can get some lessons and some try some product out and go ski for a day and see if this is something they'd like to try in the future as well.
Tell us that again. Where can someone find out more information about that?
Winter Trails. If you dump that into your favorite search engine, that will come up quickly. And see if I can just find it here as we're going.
So as you're looking for that, I am curious, is Telemark, if you're using skis that you attach skins to and go backcountry, is that considered Nordic or Alpine?
That's an idiot. Well, I... either. How's that? it probably skews more towards Nordic. Alpine is, you know, locktail and releasable bindings. Where Telemark would be more in the Nordic side of the thing, but these days the lines are so blurry because the skis are, you know, they could be an Alpine ski, they could be a little more cross country ski, but the skis are so close to Alpine skis these days, and the boots are quite powerful. They're generally plastic boots, and they're designed to drive these 110, 120 centimeter skis underfoot and that kind of stuff. So Telemark's a little different world than cross country, and we kind of, it lives a little bit in Alpine and a little bit in cross country for how we run it.
Now, in Alpine skis, Ryan, I would say back early, mid-90s, there's been a huge change in ski design. Has the same thing happened in the Nordic world?
Yes. Yes. So if we're talking about cross-country touring, where it's going out into a meadow and...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Just skiing along the pass. Some of the things we've learned on Alpine skis with how tips work in softer snow and flotation and that type of stuff have worked their way over to cross country. And really what we've seen in the last few years, probably the best change in product has happened over in skating and classic. equipment. And that's, you know, in those segments, glide and efficiency of glide are critical for speed and, you know, having a good day. If the ski is not gliding efficiently through the snow, you know, you could be on your A game with fitness and nutrition and stress management, everything else. But if the ski's not right, it's just kind of like not quite having enough air pressure in your tires in a road bike race. You're just working hard. So what we've been able to learn, thanks to some of our Alpine powder skis, is how do we handle softer snow conditions, and what does the ski do when it comes into these types of conditions? So we've been able to work quite a bit with tip profiles, pressure distributions of that tip, and also how the ski sits on the snow, so we can handle different snow conditions, whether it's very hard snow, similar to what you know concrete like on a sidewalk, or very soft snow where it's it snowed 3 or 4 inches the night before, and then it's been tilled up or people have been skiing through it. You need different skis for those conditions. You can certainly do it with one ski, but if you have skis unique to that condition or specific for that condition, the person who has that one ski is at a bit of a disadvantage.
What have you seen coming into the 2015-2016 season in Nordic that you feel is just very new and changing this year?
There's for 15-16, there's some new things. There's some things happening with boots and skis, but when it comes to that racing or fitness category, a lot of the change happened in 14-15. You know, generally as an industry, we introduce product or really whiz-bang technology when there's an Olympic cycle, and because we want to have that new technology out when there's the big events. That's an easy way for us to get that product out in front of athletes, and at that level, we know it's performing, so we're expecting to see some good results and at the highest level of the sport. So and Sochi, you saw partly because of the conditions and where the event was at, but you saw a lot of white bases on skate and classic skis. And, you know, whether they're white bases or clear bases, the idea is the same. But basically what these are, they're designed to handle higher moisture contents in the snow. They're hydrophobic bases. They don't get bogged down with dirty snow or the water that will create suction in the base. And that combined with it's not very exciting stuff, but how the ski sits on the snow and the side profile of the ski and how that skier weight is distributed across the ski, that has really changed how these skis handle those conditions. You know, going back 4 to 6 years ago, those were very challenging conditions for manufacturers, for the ski technicians, and for the athletes, because the product was it was held back a little bit in those types of conditions, and the skis would drag, or they would plow through the snow. They'd have suction because of all the water in the snow. And now with what's happening with putting structures into bases, some wax technology, and then equipment or material that's used in the skis, and then also this skier profile, or how the skier is presented to the snow, it's really freed these skis up. So now we can have very fast skis in very challenging conditions, which whether you're a World Cup athlete or, you know, you're out there going for a ski on 1 o'clock in March and it's mashed potatoes out there and you're in, you know, short sleeves, that will make that day or that ski session even more enjoyable for that person as well, because they're, they got a little wind at their back. They're not working nearly as hard as they used to.
Now, let's get into competition a little bit. Can you go through the different Nordic competitions that one would see on the World Cup?
Yeah, sure. So there's two disciplines, skating and classic. Skating is the side-to-side motion, like inline skating, rollerblading. And then classic is where the skis are in the track, and that is the diagonal, like you're running. And different skill sets, different, there's athletes that are certainly powerful in both skill sets, but, a lot of athletes, they seem to excel in one discipline over the other. They're still quite good in both, but they have a little bit better performance in a one of those two disciplines. Within those disciplines, there'll be different distances. So you could have a sprint, which is pretty fun to watch. It's a little bit like a crit in bike racing. So six people out there and line them up side by side and gun goes off and away you go. And, you know, you got to get through the corners. There's a lot of strategy. Sometimes they don't all make it through the corner. And whoever comes across the line first will either advance to the next stage, or if it's at the final stage, they'll win that event. So that's a lot of fun to watch. The men and women will do that. Typically, those are K and a half or 2K in distance. There'll be some hills and lots of turns. They try to make those courses pretty exciting. And then there's what can be there's either mass starts or individual starts. Mass starts are just as they sound, so it's everybody lines up, gun goes off, and away you go as a group, and first one across the line wins. Or there's individual, and that's very similar to a time trial. So they will have a start, and one individual goes off, and then the next one goes, and so on. And there's another way to do that where it's a pursuit, and that is based off somehow they get a start time, so there'll be a penalty, and when the second and third and fourth skier go, and whoever comes across the line first will win that one. So there's a number of ways to run the race and some different distances, anything from a 5K all the way out to a 50K for distance. So all sorts of different things. And just like you'll see this in cycling and running and any other endurance sport, there's those that are better in the shorter distance and those that are better in the longer distance and those that kind of sit right in between there. So bunch of different events out there, and there's even a little bit of a stage race which happens in December, and that's called the Tour de Ski, and it follows the along the lines of the Tour de France. So it's a timed stage. I forget how many stages off the top of my head. We'll say it's six, and there's some sprints, there's some distance, there's a hill climb, and best time overall at the end of the event wins. So a lot of fun things to watch.
Where is that? That sounds like a blast.
It's all over the place. Just like the Tour de France, it rips around all over in Europe. And, they're in Italy for a little bit. They race in France. They're a bunch of different countries. I think it's four or five different countries for this.
Now, it's funny, a little earlier on, you had mentioned soccer, and soccer makes me think of people who fall down, and when you see that happen, you kind of roll your eyes. But at the end of a Nordic race, more so than any other sport that I've seen, you have world-class athletes coming into the finish, they're giving it everything they have, and they actually will collapse when they cross the finish line, and it seems very genuine. So what is it about a Nordic ski race that puts people into that much expenditure of energy?
Well, I think with Nordic, you have a little bit of an advantage over, say, cycling or running or swimming or, pick your favorite endurance activity. With Nordic, you're gliding on skis. So, where running or cycling, if you put yourself, in a race, everybody's given 100%, 110%, they're just everything you have. But in a bike race, you still have to figure out how to steer the bike and not put the thing into a ditch or into the curb. And on a running race, you got to get that foot out in front of you so you don't trip and, skin your chin up. With Nordic, you don't really have to worry about that too much. You can give it everything you have and cross the finish line, and when the skis stop gliding, you can tip over and you're not going to get injured. So I think part of it is the way the sport or the activity is, it allows them to really just give it everything they have, and there's no consequence there. With a lot of endurance sports, you just need somebody a little bit faster than you, and that can put you into make you hurt a little bit more. And that certainly is true in Nordic as well. So I think they're able to give just that little extra bit of exertion because they don't have to worry about falling or crashing or something like that. So
name of the channel is Snowbound. We are visiting with Ryan Green, the Nordic Division Manager of Rossignol North America. Really excited about this. What are some things we're going to be exploring as this channel comes together and we really get into the Nordic side of skiing?
Well, I think you've got some great things teed up. There's some U.S. ski team athletes that they're over in Sweden right now for a training camp. So we got a couple of those queued up to check in and see what's happening with the camp there and follow them throughout the season. We have a U.S. ski team technician who works behind the scenes in the wax trailer and is involved with testing skis and testing waxes and, you know, just validating every little detail of the equipment and the wax. And so that way when that product's handed off to the athlete, they can go do their thing. And that's going to be very interesting to kind of hear what happens behind the scenes. It's long hours and a lot of testing. And so it should be some good information out of there. I've got a U.S. ski team coach queued up so we can kind of see what's happening throughout the season from the coach's standpoint. And then some individuals on the state side that are key in the Nordic world. So there's some individuals involved in the development of the ski racing pipeline and helping U18s and U23s get from the, you know, as they start getting into these international ranks, making sure that the hurdles are removed so they have the ability to get over to Europe and race and continue the success that we're seeing with U.S. skiing. And then some wax folks, you know, from the technical side of wax and all the little details there. So a great assortment of people. I think it's going to be quite interesting to listen to this throughout the season.
And really looking forward to doing it. I sure appreciate you taking the time here to visit with us today, Ryan Green.
Thanks a bunch, George. My pleasure.
Snowbound, Boulder, Colorado. I'm George Thomas.